Welcome to Now You Know. I'm Catherine Sussman. Today, my guest is author and conservationist Morten Jorgensen. Morten was born in Copenhagen and still resides in Denmark, but has traveled on all continents and across most seas since childhood. In the last 22 years, his main focus has been the polar regions. Morten is founder and expedition leader of Nozo Mojo, Tours and Arts for Nature Conservation. In 2015, Morten published Polar Bears on the Edge, Heading for Extinction While Management Fails, the first book ever to seriously address the issues of current overhunting and lack of proper protection of polar bears. Thanks for listening. Morten, welcome to the show. It's such a pleasure to have the opportunity to speak with you today on the subject of polar bears in the wild.
Hello, Catherine. Very good to talk to you finally. And thank you for the invitation to join you in a podcast to get some of these messages across.
I think that this is going to be a very shocking and eye-opening podcast to many people. And it's also an extremely important one because the public really does need to learn the truth about what is happening with polar bear hunting around the globe. And especially being Canadian, I just think it's really crucial that Canadians, because we have the majority of polar bears worldwide, that we have an understanding of what we are doing and what we are not doing to protect polar bears. For everyone listening, it's estimated by Morten and others that there are probably a maximum of 20,000 polar bears in the wild and maybe fewer. Two-thirds of all wild polar bears are in Canada, and nearly 1,000 bears are shot every year despite the 1972 protection agreement. The average annual kill has been slowly on the rise, and the ongoing rate at online hunting auctions is between $60,000 and $70,000 US. What this means is that anyone can purchase what is essentially a trophy hunt experience to kill your own bear, complete with a stay at the five-star Chateau Laurier Hotel in Ottawa, flights to and from the Arctic, an Inuit guide to take you to your bear, and your own personal photographer to record the whole thing. For an extra charge, your bear can then be stuffed or turned into a rug for your home. But before we get into this hunting controversy, Morten, can you tell us about the main threats facing polar bears today?
Polar bears are certainly threatened. I don't think that comes as a surprise to anyone. They are often described as threatened, and we see them in the headlines very often. There is, in my opinion, no threat to polar bears which is not human-posed. So we can split them up into various forms of threats. But ultimately, if the human beings, if we were not doing what we are doing, then polar bears would not be threatened. Climate change is happening, and the globe is warming. And a warming globe is a challenge for polar bears, obviously, because they have evolved to essentially live in an ice age environment, and that environment is shrinking with global warming. But as almost all of us agree, global warming right now is also accelerated by human activity. So even climate change, in my opinion, can be called a human-posed threat. Other threats to polar bears are various, but the overriding main, most important threat, which must be addressed and which can be mitigated, is hunting.
Before we get into hunting, I was wondering, just to linger a little bit longer on some of the climate change threats. I think what a lot of us think about is the receding of ice, the melting of the polar ice caps. But when I read your book, which was absolutely fascinating, by the way, there were so many things that didn't even occur to me that go along with climate change, such as just things like different species entering the polar bear's habitats, new pathogens, not just lack of ice, but food shortages, all kinds of issues that I don't think the average person might think a lot about.
Yes, of course, when our environment changes, that's true of any living being. When our environment changes, then the challenge is to either adapt to those changes or succumb. And in the case of a rapidly changing climate, which means a rapidly changing polar or Arctic environment, then obviously a number of challenges rise. As you say, invasive species or species that become competitors to polar bears are one potential threat to the polar bears. The polar bears are, if you like the term, at the top of the world. The Arctic is at the top of the world, and that is their realm. as the climate changes and the globe warms, the Arctic shrinks. And when you're at the end, so to speak, or at the top, there's nowhere for that kind of environment to migrate in the other end. So the Arctic can only shrink. It cannot move further north. It can only shrink. And as it shrinks, that means that the subarctic and the temperate zones basically move north with the rising temperatures. And with that movement north of that kind of climate belt comes also the migration of species. The brown bear obviously is one that comes to mind as a potential competitor of polar bears if they are to coexist. The brown bear is probably more competitive in many situations than the polar bear, simply because the polar bear is so highly specialized as it is. Obviously, with the migration of species come the migration also of, like you say, pathogens, including living pathogens. So bacteria, virus, etc. will also be on the move. Species that would not survive in a frozen climate, when that climate starts thawing, then more species are able to survive. And in this case, that would be to migrate north. And indeed, the polar bear has evolved in such a relatively pristine and relatively isolated environment that its defenses against many pathogens is actually very low compared to other species that would occupy a similar niche.
And are they also facing food shortages as a result of all of this?
The food shortage is very real in the sense already today, in the sense that we have and we are continuously depleting the oceans. We, again, human beings, are overfishing the oceans. One of the food resources for polar bears that we removed first was enormous quantities of whales, but also seals, walruses. So all of the other marine mammals that polar bears traditionally live off, either directly or indirectly, have already been severely depleted for centuries.
So Morten, can we now address the hunting issue?
While almost everybody for some time have been crying that global warming must be stopped in order to save the polar bear, or reversely, if we don't stop global warming, then polar bears will suffer. In all of that, hardly anybody ever mentions the fact that we are, on a global scale, hunting the polar bear to an extent which actually by itself will drive the species towards extinction. And this is perhaps one of the things that shocked you when you read my book. And it was one of the things certainly that shocked me when I learned it, which caused me to write my book. So what I have felt is that there's an inconsistency between all of these operators, all of these managers, politicians, hunters, conservationists, and many others who claim they have an interest in polar bears and who generally claim that they have the well-being of the polar bear as their main interest. There's a discrepancy between their walk and their talk, so to speak, in that the hunting of polar bears is directly physically eliminating upwards of 1,000 animals every single year out of the population, which in addition has to struggle with climate change already ongoing and not really changing in any foreseeable future.
And so when you say that, you're not even referring to illegal hunting, poaching, are you? Are you just referring to the management of polar bears, the legal hunt?
Yes, I'm not really making a big distinction because to me, a dead polar bear is a dead polar bear. And I think if polar bears had their own voice, they would say the same. So whether a polar bear is killed legally or illegally, ultimately, that is a polar bear that is taken out, and it's taken out of the population. In Canada, in the U.S., that is Alaska, and in Greenland/Denmark, there is legal hunting of polar bears. There's also illegal. There is poaching going on in those countries as well. And then of the other two nations that have polar bears in their territories, Russia is one. There's a complete ban on hunting in polar bears in Russia, but there is poaching going on there. And Norway is the last country to be mentioned. They have polar bears in Norway, but no hunting on them. And ultimately, it's a very small population. It's a small geographical area. and the number of bears that are killed there is very minimal.
I think because polar bears are such a revered species, you know, everybody loves polar bears. They're iconic. There's images of polar bears everywhere. I've started asking questions to friends and family and people I come in contact with when I knew I was going to be interviewing you and had read your book, just asking people what they thought. Did they think polar bears are protected here in Canada? And overwhelmingly, the answer was yes. People in Canada really feel that we are protecting our bears. And I think that's sort of the consensus internationally as well, is it not? So this is quite shocking to hear what's going on.
Well, yes, it is the consensus internationally, generally speaking, because most people are kept in the dark. And most of those who have a vested interest in polar bears prefer to claim that polar bears are protected. Now, technically, there is an agreement from 1972 whereby the polar bear nations internationally agreed to basically protect the polar bear. That agreement came about because the overhunting of polar bears was so rampant in the 60s, not least, but already before that, also in the 1950s and earlier, that even though nobody really knew how many polar bears were out there, and that's something we still don't know, actually, it was so visible back then in the 1950s, 1960s, that polar bears were being shot out. The hunting was so out of control that polar bear populations were visibly being decimated all over the place. This is what caused the then Soviet Union to be the first to protect polar bears in 1957. And since then, after years of talks, all five nations agreed to have an international agreement for the protection of the polar bear, which was ratified in 72, 73, at which point Norway also banned hunting. However, the agreement is flawed, and the people with an interest in the hunt, and especially in commercializing the hunt, have used that agreement actually to continue and even escalate the hunt since.
Could you just break down what the hunting is, like all of these different types of hunting that go on?
Basically, because of the wording of the 1972 agreement, there is, technically speaking, you could say that there is only indigenous hunting or subsistence hunting. So all commercial hunting and all non-Inuit or non-Indigenous hunting was banned universally in 1972, or with that agreement. However, in the agreement, it says that local people using local or living up to or keeping alive a local tradition and using traditional methods may continue to take polar bears. So any hunt that happens today is either in direct breach of that agreement, or it has to be defined as an indigenous hunt for subsistence purposes.
So then how is Canada getting away with something like selling these online auctions?
Well, this is where it gets interesting regarding Canada. Now, Canada, it has to be said, is the only nation of those three that still allow a polar bear hunt that is allowing part of that hunt to be sold to non-Inuit people as trophy hunts. Canada is also the only nation which is continuing to export polar bear body parts to the rest of the world. The hunting interests, when it comes to polar bears, for some reason have this incredible power to manipulate, so far, the entire world into believing that the hunt is sustainable, that it should go on, that it's actually happening as a traditional indigenous hunt, which is totally false. When a bear is shot with a high-powered rifle, when it is tracked using everything from phones to GPSs to snowmobiles to outboard motors on boats, how traditional is the hunt? It is the Inuit in Canada, but also in Alaska and Greenland, who conducts the hunt, except in those cases where it is sold for trophy in Canada, where they are only leading the hunt, but the final trigger pulling is done by the buyer, the purchaser.
Well, that's what I thought, because I'm looking at the ad here, and yeah, it seems to imply that it's the actual buyer who would not be indigenous.
Yes, but first of all, it's a relatively small percentage of the overall annual kill of almost 1,000 bears globally.
Right.
Secondly, it is taken out of the same quota. So it doesn't mean that these bears are shot in excess of any quota which has been established on a certain subpopulation somewhere. So it's all part of the same picture. Mm-hmm. And the reason I don't make a big fuss about the numbers of internationally killed trophy hunted bears relative to the numbers killed by local people is that, again, as I said earlier, ultimately it's all the same. A dead bear is a dead bear. Yes, the trophy hunting, the sale of a proportion of the Canadian polar bear hunt to international buyers is a good point in illustrating the commercialization, the general commercialization of the polar bear hunt in Canada. Mm-hmm. It certainly illustrates that point very, very clearly. However, my point is that the remaining part of the polar bear hunt, the vast majority of that is also commercialized. And the majority of the bears that are shot in Canada by local people, by Inuit, are, first of all, not shot in a traditional way. The hunt is not undertaken in any traditional way. And the purpose is ultimately there also commercial.
Is there still time to save them? When you wrote Polar Bears on the Edge, you described it as being the 11th hour. Is this still the case, or is it too late?
I do believe that we can still act, and we can also still act regarding polar bears. I even believe, maybe naively, that we can still act regarding global warming and climate change. We don't seem to be doing anything, and the pace is not slowing. But, you know, every little drop contributes to ultimately flooding the gates or making the ocean, whichever way you look at it. I do believe that there is a chance for polar bears still, but it is very much the 11th hour, a little bit more than it was 5 years ago when my book came out.
If you had to pick the top three or four things that we could all do if we want to get involved to help this, what would those things be?
I would like to tell people to be critical and to regard their money as a really, really powerful resource with which they can actually make a difference. I said, ask questions. I think the thing we can all participate in, no matter what our background is, and no matter how much background knowledge we have, or how many years we've spent with this, or how many other focuses we have, we can all ask questions. And we can all confront the scientists and the NGOs and the politicians and the hunters, for that matter, and just keep asking them, are you really sure this is sustainable? Are you really sure this is necessary? Are you really sure this is cultural, historic tradition, etc.? And apart from that, ultimately, what we need to see is a change in politics around polar bears so that the hunting can be stopped. So going back to the beginning of our conversation, yes, climate change is a serious challenge for polar bears. However, if the population was strong, if the individual polar bears were strong, if they were left in peace, if they had refuge, there is a chance that they could survive as a species a global warming period. That has actually happened before in the history of the polar bear. The polar bear is older than the last interglacial period where the climate was also warm. So they can obviously survive a warm period. Mm-hmm. However, if we shoot 1,000 of them every year, the population will never recover from its depleted state. And actually, we're shooting so many that we are quite systematically reducing the population year by year. So as long as the hunt continues, there's a very, very grave danger for the polar bear to not survive this current global warming period that we are in the beginning of.
Is there anything else, Morten, that you'd like to add in terms of actions?
Yeah, so what I would like to suggest as on a bigger scale regarding actions is that what we need to arrive at is an international agreement, if you will, a renewal of the international agreement and for the protection of the polar bear, which incorporates a moratorium. What I really believe is politically obtainable, although it will be a bit of a battle, but also ultimately very, very necessary, is an agreement to have a moratorium on the hunting of polar bears.
Like we have with whales.
Exactly, like we have with the large whales. And a moratorium, I think, is more edible for many people than the word complete ban, because a moratorium also indicates that if and when such times should arise where a hunting can be resumed, then it can be resumed. Mm-hmm. So basically, a moratorium to give the species a bit of breathing space and also to give all of us a chance to actually share all this knowledge we have about the actual state of the polar bear and have a discussion, an open discussion, about whether it's actually even necessary to keep hunting this top predator, which exists in quite low numbers. And as a step along the way to a moratorium would be to resume the work that has been going on, but which so far has failed, to uplist the species in the CITES appendix system. A little bit technical, but the polar bear is on what is called Appendix 2. Being on Appendix 2 basically means that the polar bear and body parts from the polar bears can be traded internationally under supervision and with certificates, etc. An uplisting of the bear to Appendix 1 would mean that all international trading in polar bear parts would be banned. That obviously would stop a lot of the commercialization. It would also take away a platform for the black market and for poaching. And there's every reason to support that, which was last proposed by the US and supported by Russia, but unfortunately not supported by Denmark, Norway, and Canada. In the protection of polar bears, we often hear the use of the word management, and we hear that the polar bear is well managed, which is used as a term to describe that the situation is under control. Don't worry, folks, the hunting is okay. Quotas within sustainable limits, and the major threat is global warming. But in reality, management really just is a cover, actually, for continued hunting, if you will. Almost everything that has to do with polar bears has to do with numbers. And the only reason why the focus is so strongly on numbers is that the policy is, let us manage this species for maximum sustainable yield. That is such a scary term. Maximum sustainable yield basically means let's take a look at this species, not assuming that it has a right to live on its own conditions, but just looking at it as a resource to be harvested. Even the word harvested, the use of the word harvested, to me is really quite sad. I'm Danish. My first language is not English, but I always thought harvested was something you did to a crop which you had planted for the purpose of harvesting it. But here we have, you know, polar bears are harvested. And they're not just resource to be harvested, but they're also to be managed in a way for maximum sustainable yield. So all of this looking into numbers, counting, and setting quotas is all about killing as many as possible. So in talking about polar bear numbers, it's very tricky because various people use various numbers as a way also of manipulating the reality, depending on their agenda. But one thing we can say for sure is that they're being overhunted. And how can I say this? Well, if we very, very optimistically believe that there are 25,000 polar bears in the wild today, and that they can have a recruitment rate of 4%, the population can grow with 4% in a natural state, then that basically means 1,000 bears added to the population per year as a maximum potential. Now, if we're killing 1,000, then obviously we are taking away any possibility for that polar bear population to ever grow in numbers or recover from the depleted situation it's in. Now, I started that argument with 25,000 bears and 4% recruitment rate, but the reality out there probably is actually that there are perhaps maximum 20,000 bears and that the average recruitment rate is not 4%, not least because of the climate change situation and deterioration of sea ice. It's more likely 2%, but let's give them 3%. That means that if 600 additional deaths are added to the population per year, then the population will not grow. And any additional death outside of natural death over 600 means that the population will decrease. Since we're killing 1,000 and the 3% recruitment rate and 20,000 bears is quite realistic, then the math alone and the biological facts prove that we are decimating the population. So I say about 1,000 polar bears are shot every year. It sounds like a very convenient round number, but it's not far from the truth. The truth might be 970, 990, some years just over 1,000. It varies a lot. And of course, the poaching is by nature impossible to tally. So we don't exactly know how many bears are shot every year, but it's about 1,000, which comes to about 3 every day. Every single day, 3 bears are shot.
Well, thank you very much for outlining the task we have in front of us. We have a big responsibility here in Canada to help the polar bear.
Can I give you a striking image before we finish.
Yes.
Everybody, very many people anyway, are very aware of the situation with the poaching of rhinos in southern Africa. Now, what is really interesting is that the numbers are very comparable between polar bears and rhinos. There are approximately the same number of polar bears in the wild as there are rhinos in the wild. The rhinos actually have a higher recruitment rate than polar bears. They probably multiply on the average at least twice as fast as polar bears. And yet, more polar bears have been shot in the last decade than rhinos.
I wonder why we have such a misperception about their numbers.
Isn't it interesting? Because the rhino poaching situation, because obviously, apart from a few that are shot for trophy, basically the majority of the rhinos are killed in an illegal situation, so they're poached. But that number is actually lower than the number of polar bears that are shot in a combination of legal and illegal hunt around the world every year. Polar bears can reproduce slower than rhinos. So we have a situation where we have this iconic top predator in the Arctic, which is being hunted out legally with the support of governments, with the support of many different organizations, while at the same time, the whole world is outraged at the poaching of rhinos because we see it as senseless slaughter.
Startling, isn't it?
Wow. It is startling.
It's been so amazing to talk to you and learn from you today. Thank you so much for having this discussion. And I hope we'll be able to chat again and stay updated on this issue.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure. My agenda is to speak for the polar bear. They have very few voices to speak for them. So it's always a pleasure when somebody's willing to listen. So thank you very much for contacting me.
Thank you.